Dilithof Pass incident remains one of the most perplexing mysteries in the realm of unsolved cases. In early 1959, group of nine experienced, wonderful comrade hikers, led by Igor Dyatlov, embark on frozen trek through the Ural Mountains of Soviet Russia, motherland. Their journey starts out joyful, but somehow takes a tragic turn, culminating in their mysterious deaths in a multitude of unanswered questions.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
Another episode of Well Hello Mr. Fancy Pants, and I've been watching Rocky and Bullwinkle to get used to this one. I skipped to the scenes of Boris and Natasha to get used to this episode that we're gonna do
Moose
right
and
now
squirrel.
Because
Moose and Squirrel.
And I will say, after Todd's fucking episode about the Malaysian flight, now we're doing this one, once again probably left with more questions than answers.
Oh no, we're really? Flirting on this one. It was the Russian.
You got this nailed?
We know who it was. I mean,
Matt's all Russians in the mountains
with snow,
or aliens, or nuclear weapons, or Yeti.
I think we've nailed it. It's definitely bad. It's very bad. Okay, Zach, my man, how you doing?
Das vidanya, motherfucker. How are you today?
I have no idea what you said, Todd. What's up, motherfucker? I mean, sorry, Lindy.
It's okay.
I haven't seen him for a while. I thought he was dead because
we're all excited Todd's back.
I guarantee you there's one person out there who's looking at this and going, nah, not so much.
Todd, this is podcast. Fuck that fucker.
Well, if they give me consent and hold still long enough, I will
all
attempt
right.
to put it in.
Hey. So, yeah. Sorry, we got an episode today.
There's your gay porn moment. Yeah.
Okay. This should be good. Zach's taking the helm today with something, as if you couldn't tell from the opening, Russian.
Well, Matt, some people pronounce this the Dyatlov Pass incident. But I'm going to call it the Dyatlov, because I think that's actually how it's pronounced in Russian.
It's Dyatlov.
Dyatlov. I'll say I understood the first one better.
Dyatlov. Dyatlov.
Dyatlov.
Dyatlov.
Just say vodka.
Vodka okay. It is.
Need more vodka.
Need more vodka. All right.
I need to get a bottle of Grey Goose for this episode. Is that
no, Russian? That is not Russian vodka, my friend.
Probably get killed.
Popov or nothing.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I think Grey Goose is French.
Ooh, God, I probably insulted him pretty hard with that. Okay.
French for good vodka.
I'll go with nothing.
You are nothing. You know nothing, Matt Spaulder.
I've been it my whole life, buddy. I'm used to it. It's fine with me.
Where the fuck are we going with this? Oh, better question. If I tuck myself seriously, where exactly would I be going?
To hell. Straight to hell.
God, that's the hardest question I've ever heard.
And
in
as my
life,
brother but... likes to remind me, they don't give people like me hand baskets.
No, sir. You do not.
And well, if I'm running down the street, nobody's handing me a cup of water saying, get it, buddy, get it, go. Nobody even asks if I'm in trouble.
They give
just
you
like,
a basket of hands, perhaps.
That's because they're all staring out their windows going, the fuck is he doing?
What is that guy doing?
He's still going. He made it past the neighbor's house. Holy shit. I'm back. I've already derailed this whole fucking conversation. Mm-hmm. Anyways, back to you, Matt. Lead in. Tell the people something they want to hear.
I love all you guys for listening. There's something they want to hear.
Yeah.
And I hope we all hope that you had a wonderful Christmas celebration or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah. I hope he's warm.
Yeah.
And watched a few good horror movies.
Yeah. Like like Violent Night. Which is not really it's not a horror movie,
but it was pretty good. I liked it all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it better than Die Hard. Anyway.
God, next time I knock on your door, I'm suplexing you right out on the concrete.
What do you guys know about? Go ahead.
I tried to get my son to watch The Gremlins because I was like, if mom says Home Alone is a Christmas movie, then this is also a Christmas movie. He tried to watch Gremlins and he was like, he fell asleep. I was like, damn it, you didn't even get to Stripe. I was trying to explain Stripe to him. He didn't get that far. He just fell asleep. That's why they can't make movies like they used to. Nobody's got any attention span for long enough. It's like you got to go into it immediately or nobody's going to follow the shit. That's why my daughter thought The Exorcist wasn't scary, because she didn't pay attention and put herself into the situation.
I'm sorry, Matt. Did you say something? I wasn't paying attention.
I'm sorry, too. Zach, what were we talking about? I'll just be over here.
There.
Yeah, what he said. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably only the 5,000th podcast to do to cover this. So
we'll do it.
Rather than go like the really long fucking 4-part route, which we could do, we're just going to do like a, these are the facts. These what
they
happened.
Are Russian. They do stupid things. They die. This is Russia.
This is fucking Russia. Yes.
Drink vodka.
On that
I'm sorry,
note,
their leader rides a horse with my shirt on.
He's not on a Honda?
I'm sure
I'll
he was
tell you this. I had
somebody
called
Steven Seagal.
I'm sure he was voted in properly every time, too. Outside of whatever.
I've had one person give me one critique on this podcast.
What was that? You didn't talk enough?
No.
Okay, thank God.
The worst episodes are the ones that are Lindy's, because the three of us are so fucking ADD that we're just spouting out the dumb shit that comes in our brain as we hear it, and then we're all laughing, that it's like, they just like...
We ruin her episode?
I can't keep up with it, because it's like, over here, over there, over here, oh, we're back to Lindy, over here, over there, back to Lindy. I was
it's like watching two tennis matches at the same time.
So basically the critique is shut the fuck up when Lindy's talking, as if we're going to do that.
No. She was just saying, you know, it's hard to follow, but I enjoy it because I'm laughing. And I said, well, just think of how Lindy feels, especially now that she's realized that, you know, half the time I'm deliberately trying to cut in on her and make her fuck up.
So what you're saying is more dick and fart jokes? Or
I don't think that's possible, right? So really...
Well,
hey Lindy, you jump in on me anytime you want.
I think our lane is gay porn and butt stuff from Matt. So
yeah,
and then we throw in some Ben Franklin, Hot Pockets, Pizza Pockets. You know,
yeah.
Okay. Good with that. We got it with it. All right, let's get on with this.
Can I go now?
No woman. Can I go? Whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me. Is it my turn to speak now, comrades? Okay,
I'll allow it.
All right. All right. So the Dyatlov Pass expedition began on January 23rd, 1959, as the group led by Igor Dyatlov.
It was the winter of 59.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They set out to conquer the challenging terrain of the Ural Mountains. Their goal was to reach the Orten Mountain, a trek renowned for its difficulty even among experienced hikers. Everyone in the group had lots of experience in mountaineering, skiing, navigation, making them all very well equipped for the demanding journey. They were all grade 2 hikers, and after the completion of this 300-kilometer hike, they would obtain grade 3, which was the highest level attainable in Mother Russia at the time.
What, do you get a merit badge for that? Or
it's something, yeah. It's like, look at me, I'm big badass hiker.
Dumb waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And
If Todd doesn't say Wind of Change sometime in this.
Okay. All right.
This when they went on this, when they set out for this, like February is the absolute fucking worst time you could try to go do this.
You would think. Yeah, February sucks in Illinois. I can't imagine what it's like in fucking Mother Russia.
Like 30 below zero with snow and ice constantly. Sounds like a great time to me.
Oh, I can't wait. I couldn't wait.
Just
say no.
Just cut my fucking dick off now. And then I'll stay on. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to get frostbite somehow. I don't know. Yeah.
So the majority
not
of this
the toes,
group.
Not the fingers, straight to the dick.
That's well, you right. Can't even hang a piss. You'll lose it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, gets cold enough. You just pop
while
that
you,
guy right
while
off.
While you cup it with your hands and you pee in your hands. You shelter just it and then you warm your hands up at the same time.
Is that a Bear Grylls thing? Because he'd be like, yeah, cup it and then drink it. All right.
Well, technically urine is sterile.
You can drink your own urine. Yeah. I wouldn't drink someone else's, but.
I know. Well, I'm not in a hurry.
Hurry up, though. Fucking
yeah, man. Okay. Can I move
now, on? If Lindy got stung by a jellyfish, I would definitely piss on her if she needed it. Just
all right, R. Kelly, way. Calm down. Calm down.
I'm just that big of a help.
All right. All right, so most of these hikers were all students or former students of the Ural Polytechnical Institute where Igor Dyatlov went to school. The group consisted
they learned,
of
didn't they? Mm-hmm.
I did. I mean, there was some smart Russians out there.
For a minute.
The group consisted of 8 men, 2 women. Igor Zinyada. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the last name. K. Ludmilla. Those were the 2 women. D. Alexander K. Rustim S. And then there was Yuri K. Yuri D. Nikolai T. Alexander Z. And a last minute addition to this party wasn't a student. He was a friend of a friend, so to speak. And he was trying to get his grade 3. Hiking.
Was this the guy that's much older?
He's like in his mid-30s, yeah. Yes.
And they all sound like backups on Modern Warfare, like Black Ops 2.
Correct, yeah. And this guy was like tattooed, and the group were kind of like, who the fuck is this dude? But he was really nice, and they warmed up to him pretty quickly.
Just somebody by their tattoos. Is that right, Lindy?
Was Yuri as well. Oh,
Lindy's talking, but I can't hear her.
Yep. Can't hear Lindy. She's got her mic muted. Do you have it muted on your headphones?
Uh-oh.
Ruh, ruh, raggy. Can you
hear
me now?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Totally.
Okay. Totally I must have hit the button on accident. Having tattoos does not make you a bad person.
No, I didn't say it did.
No, he was saying they were just kind of iffy about it because they were like, yeah. It was probably more like, okay, he's got tattoos, but why are we able to see him? Because it's stupid cold out here. Like, he's super proud of those fuckers.
So anyway, they were all seasoned outdoors enthusiasts with extensive hiking and camping experience. So they arrived by train at Ivdale, which is a town at the center of the northern province of Sverdlovsk-Obelosk in the early morning of January 25th. 1959, where they then took a truck to Vizia, which is a Lori village that is the last inhabited settlement to the north. And while spending the night there, they purchased innate loaves of bread to keep their energy levels up, sang folk songs. One of the Yuris was like a pretty good ukulele player, and they were singing folk songs and drinking vodka and having a good old time. And
he brought the uke with him? Through
yeah,
those temperatures and it withstood, like the neck didn't break or anything?
No, it's a small instrument.
I know, but that's well made with that much cold.
Well, that's all I can tell you.
Okay, right, fair enough.
So on January 27th, they began their trek towards Goa or Torten. And then on January 28th, one member of the party, Yuri Yudin,
who had several health ailments, including rheumatism and a congenital heart defect turnaround due to knee and joint pain that made him unable to continue the hike.
Why did he start? It sounds like he's got arthritis and heart conditions. It's like, get your ass back down the mountain, buddy. We came far enough for you to sled down. Now have a good time.
Well,
fuck off and go home.
You know, little did he know, that saved his life, because that made the group nine, and not soon after this, they would all be dead. So,
the only reason we know, nine-person tour.
The only reason we know anything about what happened to them during this, during their hike, was because they kept diaries and they had cameras, and they were all found around their last campsite, and that's how they managed to track the group's route up to the day preceding the incident. On January 31st, the group arrived at the edge of a highland area and began to prepare for climbing. In a wooded valley, they catched surplus food and equipment that would be used for the trip back.
Caught. Not catched. Caught.
Did I say catched?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. That's not what caught me. I thought when you said highland area, I thought one of them thought automatically in their head, there can be only one. And so he was plotting.
Just remember, Matt.
Wrong country.
Losers do their best.
Okay.
Winners, go home and fuck the prom queen.
What is that called?
Right context, wrong movie, but I allow it.
We got it.
Yeah. I think they stayed in a gulag, in like an older abandoned gulag on the way.
I've heard about gulags, and that's nowhere I'd ever want to be.
No, it's just an old
An abandoned prison. One?
Yeah,
an abandoned, okay.
Because it seemed like a better idea for them to stay there than fucking pitch a tent and stand out in the elements. That's how fucking cold it was outside. So
this is never an idea I'd have. I'd be like, hey, how many buddies can I get together? Hey, you motherfuckers want to go out and be miserable for like 5 days? No, we're not going to hang around the house and watch movies.
And misery, Matt.
Okay, fair enough.
I've done smaller versions of this, but we call them tours in America.
Yes.
Same.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go out and do the thing and be fucking miserable for 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
All right.
Let's not shower and smell like shit, and then, you know, let's just throw our underwear away and buy new ones and socks. Cheaper than fucking stopping and doing laundry. Yeah.
If I'm guessing, there wasn't a lot of sweating going on. And if there was, they regretted it, because that shit will freeze and it's going to be bad. And what's going on with the rest of the story?
Yeah. Okay. So on February 1st, the hikers started to move through the pass. And it seems like they planned to get over the pass and make camp for the next night on the opposite side. All right there, Gandalf. Chill out. Because of worsening weather conditions, snowstorms, and like zero visibility, they lost their direction. They deviated west toward the top of, I'm going to try to pronounce this,
Kolatskal.
I think it's translated as Dead Mountain in the local Manzi language. And it was here that all this mysterious thing starts to happen.
It reminds me of every movie where they walk up to a pass and it says certain death, you're okay, and they're like, let's try this way, it's quicker.
Yeah. Only they were snowblind and they never saw the sign. I don't know what Todd's doing.
He's showing you a compass.
He's got a compass there. Yeah,
but then they start,
I don't know, I would figure if you're gonna go hiking in the mountains, you'd have a compass. Yes.
You definitely have a compass, especially back then. Yeah, you would have to have a compass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
as a Boy Scout, I would recommend you having a compass.
Yeah. Or even, you know, just a phone, because there's one on every fucking phone now.
And Girl Scouts, just so Matt's not offending the whole demographic.
All right.
My uncle told me he was kicked out of Boy Scouts for eating brownies.
I don't know where my rim shot is, but anyway. Nice. Well played.
I bet Matt knows where your rim shot is.
Oh, man.
One time. One time.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
There you go. So when
one
these guys...
per episode.
Yeah. When they realized that they fucked up, they decide to set up their camp on a slope of the mountain rather than turn around and go back about a mile downhill to a forested area that would have offered a little more shelter from the weather, because they're like, fuck it. We don't want to lose a mile, you know? Yuri Uden, he's the one that turned around, you know, rheumatoid arthritis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He later speculated that Igor probably did not want to lose the altitude that they'd gained, where he decided to practice camping on the mountain slope because they were going to have to do it anyway at some point. And that's why they did this. So at some point that evening, something compelled the hikers to abandon their tent very hastily.
It was cut from the inside, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And all of their gear and all their food, most of their clothing.
A lot of shoes and even.
Yeah, yeah. When they got out of this tent, they left in a fucking hurry. Like, half of them were like, no shoes, no coats, no gloves.
No service.
No service, yeah. Ass, grass, or cash.
That's why they weren't allowed into places.
Yeah.
Sorry, no shoes. Freeze to death, motherfucker.
Yeah. Let's see. So yeah, no shoes, no warm clothing. And it was like they were scared off.
And I heard it was like even before the stove was like set up, like they had the stove was in there, but it wasn't even set up to be ready to use. But they were all inside the tent. I guess body warmth got it warm enough they could take their shoes off. Because
no, they could light a small controlled fire inside this tent.
Okay, but they didn't have the proper stove for like sleeping setup. Was that it, or?
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that.
I thought they had a proper stove. It just wasn't put all together yet.
I believe it was set up to be lit. I don't
but
know
it
if
wasn't.
It was lit yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm throwing monkey wrenches in your shit. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. You're good. So the scene around the tent indicated that the group had fled without proper gear, and there was like basically one set of tracks leading away. So it was like they were walking single file line away from the tent.
Which can happen with a Kalashnikov at your back.
This, yes, it can.
Or the Tuscan Raiders. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see here. So after they, you know, were supposed to report back, they kind of waited a few days, but 10 days after they were supposed to, you know, return.
That's a lot of days.
Well, you got to understand, this is fucking like negative 30 degrees. It's going to take a while to get through that. So it's like, oh, we'll give them a few more days. If we don't hear, then we'll,
there's a simple reason for that. One, a frozen dead body is easier to haul out than an injured alive human being. Because you got to give them care. And care, you can just tie a rope around the feet. Shit's frozen. It'll cruise across the top of the ice.
Hopefully it doesn't break.
Doesn't matter.
And if it does, you just fucking throw it in throw it in the back of the whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
So when they failed to report back as planned, search and rescue team was dispatched. They discovered the first five bodies approximately 1.5 kilometers from the abandoned tent on February 26th. At the forest's edge, under a large Siberian pine, the searchers found the visible remains of a small fire. And that's where the first two bodies of Yuri Kalashnikov, Yuri K, and Yuri D were discovered. Both shoeless, dressed only in their underwear. And
I heard
the branches of the tree that they were, that was above them, were broken up to 5 meters high.
suggesting that one of the skiers had climbed up there to look for something, perhaps like to see if they could find the camp. Because
I thought, you know, I thought maybe they were climbing up for more branches to throw on the fire, but no, that makes sense too. Like climbing up to see if they could see it. Maybe it was the wind was blowing and the snow was blowing so bad they couldn't figure out a way to get back. So they were
could be, yeah. And both of these guys had bruises, like looked like they'd been in a skirmish. Like I can't remember if it was Yuri K or Yuri D, but one of them had a chunk of their hand missing, and it was later found in their mouth. Like bitten off a chunk of their hand and it was in their mouth and their hair was singed and they had burn marks on their hands and like their hair was burned. So it looks like they were probably like so fucking frozen that they were like
so much frostbite. They were putting their fingers in the fire because they couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. And if you're that hungry, maybe the dude was just like,
no, maybe he was trying to just so warm. He could feel his hand.
Maybe. Feel pain.
Didn't realize that he bit all the way through it. Yeah.
I hurt myself today.
All right, there. So then after that, they find the bodies of three more corpses, being Igor D, and then Kolmogorov and Slobodan, which would be, I believe, another Yuri. And then one of the girls, they find them kind of basically in a straight line between the tree line and headed back towards camp. It looks like they'd been trying to attempt to return to the tent. Basically like 300, 480 and 650 meters from the tree line. So they're like kind of same in a line. I believe that Dilatov basically was frozen to death. The girl had frozen to death and she was found like in a fetal position. And the other guy, Slobodan, I believe Yuri Slobodan, he was found with his skull was fractured.
Jesus.
So that's not an accident, probably. Well, maybe he could have tripped and fell. Was there like a slope near him?
They were kind of on a slope. But yeah, I mean.
I have a question.
Yep.
Were there claw marks on these people?
I don't know. Not in the research that I found. Now, you can fucking dig and find so much bullshit about this.
Okay, question number two.
Okay.
Had they been anally probed?
No.
Not that I'm aware of. So that rules out a Yeti and aliens.
Well, hold on.
Okay. Alien probing would be hard to do on a frozen body, I would feel.
So. There were signs of radiation, though.
I heard something about the helicopter pilots that were supposed to fly them out, even. Fly the bodies out afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other four members of his party were not found for two more months. They were finally found on May 4th under about 13 feet of snow in a ravine that was about 250 feet further into the woods from the tree where the two Yuris were found.
I'm sorry, 13 feet of snow?
Yeah. Now these four were dressed.
You're going to go. No, hang on. You're going to go hike into a place where there's a chance of 13 feet of snow?
Well, in Russia.
Yeah, I know, but you're hiking out there to it. At least if you're in a town, you got to shut it. God, I can't feel sorry for you too much. It's fucking stupid.
Sing it with me, okay?
Okay.
Dumb ways to die.
It's like, right. I gotta go prove I can do this. There could be 13 feet of snowfall. Yeah, but I can do it. All right, Rambo, get him.
Hey, oy, Adrian.
Sorry, but so stupid. Like, if that was one of my friends, I'd be like, dude, are you serious? Do you really want to do this? How about we talk it over? How about we just sit down and talk, you know, inside is warm, right? We can just sit in here and talk about it. Let's just talk about what it'd be like. How about June? What do you think about June?
June is no
still
good
the same
for me.
Pass in June.
But February I can do.
I'm gonna take the worst time because I'm a bad motherfucker. Sounds like a UFC fighter guy. He's like, I just gotta prove how badass I am.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Did this not work out?
When they were found, they had more clothes on than the other ones. And let's see, the other girl, Dubinina, was wearing Yuri K's burned, torn trousers. And Alexander Z had really strange soft tissue damage to his body. They were both missing their eyes. And Dubinina, she was missing her tongue, and it was never found. When they did the autopsy on her body, they found that she had blood in her stomach, which means that
she bit her own tongue off.
Well, before she died.
At least choked to death on the blood because she was still alive.
The blood was in her stomach, so that happened before she died.
Right, yeah. Ooh,
and
boy.
I believe there was like a portion of someone's forehead that was missing as well.
I'm going to ask, did the guy that left the camp before he got there, did he have a piercing in one ear and then when they see him later have a piercing in the other?
No.
Hey, for the four people that get that, you're welcome.
So the investigation that followed kind of dived into all the circumstances surrounding the tent, the erratic behavior, and all these unexplained injuries. And despite extensive efforts, the official conclusion pointed to hypothermia as the cause of death, with unusual conditions, and the traumatic injuries considered secondary. But the lack of clear narrative and the unusual conditions of the discovery have continued to obviously fuel speculation and various theories about the Dyatlov Pass incident. Ultimately, it's discovering the group's abandoned tent on the slopes of this mountain that basically says, do not go there. They find all the shit. They find the cameras. And there was actually, I can't remember which Yuri it was, but one of these guys that was in the ravine had another camera that they didn't know that they had in the group. Like, and unfortunately, apparently, the Russian government says whatever was on this film was ruined. None of the pictures were released.
Can't imagine that under 13 feet of snow, something getting ruined.
Yeah.
Wouldn't matter if it was laying out in bright sunlight. They'd be like, sun damaged it. Nothing to see here. It's not like we got a military base just across the way a little.
Yeah.
Or did they?
So we have major skull damage. We have chest fractures. And according to the guy that did the autopsies on the bodies, he said the force required to cause this such a damage would have been extremely high, comparable to that of a car crash. Like he was like, you cannot fucking do this with like hitting somebody.
Okay. I have a question about that though, too. And I know you're no scientist and nobody's going to be able to back this up as a doctor, but you know how, when you're really cold and like a stick hits you, fuck, it hurts way worse. Now, what if it's all the way to your bones and they get hit? Does that break easier? Cause I watched Terminator 2.
Well, Matt, it's not rocket surgery, but I don't know.
I'm just being a dick. I don't know.
You're good.
Sorry.
You're good.
But it does hurt like shit when you get hit with a stick and it's cold outside.
Yeah. So associated with all these fractures that they had in their bones, and they'd somehow been subjected to a high level of pressure.
Pressure.
Found in the creek in a running stream of water, had soft tissue damage to their head and faces. Like I said, missing tongue, eyes, parts of lips, facial tissue, fragments of skull bone, eyeballs,
eyebrows. Think those were critters?
Maybe critters looking for something to eat?
I think fucking even critters are too smart to be out in fucking negative 30 degree weather in Russia.
Yeah. Also, we've solved this. They were dumb, and this is what happens.
It was initially speculated that the Mansi people, the indigenous people to the area, they're like reindeer herders, short little guys. Probably look a lot like Charlie Manson, I'm guessing. That's the one I picture in my head.
More attractive.
Definitely more attractive, yeah. And probably can sing better, too. So it was originally thought that they had attacked and murdered the group for encroaching on their lands, but only one set of tracks. And
same thing happened to Luke's aunt and uncle.
All right, Matt. All right.
You're welcome once again.
Uh-huh. So several Mansi were interrogated, but the investigation indicated that the nature of the deaths did not support this hypothesis. Like I said, only the hiker's footprints were visible, and there was no sign of any hand-to-hand struggle. They did find the higher radiation levels, like I said, in some of the victims, and somehow the KGB got involved in this, and they decided they were going to just shut it down real quick. All classified, top secret. Everything was dismissed, and they just said, it was just an accident.
This is Russia. Dumb people do dumb things, die dumbly. Nothing to see here.
No more drink
vodka. Stayed indoors.
So the case has remained unsolved for decades, giving rise to, let's see how many conspiracy theories.
Up to
75.
Here goes an hour and a half.
No, we're almost done. We're almost done already.
No, if you went through all the conspiracy series, though, I mean, it would just be the longest episode we've ever done.
Secret weapons testing all the way to like aliens sticking shit up their butts, you know, government cover-ups. I would go with that, too. In 2019,
that'd be the only time I'd be like, yeah, a warm probe sounds fine.
A warm probe? Be the one time
if I was freezing to death, I'd be like, however, I mean, however, I can get
the. He said, okay,
that's not exactly what I said.
It's
but
the first
what I
time
meant.
For everything, Jesus,
not how I said it,
man.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think you were in complete agreement with putting something warm in your ass.
Hey, bring up aliens and I'm freezing to death, and that's warm, damn, whatever.
Yet again, he confirms.
I would go back to the pissing on myself thing, I think, first before. Yeah.
You're going to run out quick. I guess you could just keep eating snow, but.
Just don't eat the yellow snow, Matt.
Snorting snow up some other dude's ass.
Well, I wasn't going that. Jeez. Okay.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
Anyway. It's getting there quick.
Uh huh. Yeah.
It's already there.
And you know, if you're starving to death, that warm peanut butter, Todd, motherfucker.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, so.
testing crunchy, out Lindy's gag reflex here.
Let's not do that. Don't push it. Don't push it farther. She's already got her hair pulled back. She can just let fly.
Yeah, yes, I can.
I feel like I'm losing control here, so.
You never had it. You fucking never had it, dude.
One of my favorite things about going through this was like all the conspiracy things, like the pictures of Bigfoot that they had on their phone. I think that were set up like the kids actually planned to do them.
They actually
like they were
have,
a joke.
They didn't have. Pictures of Bigfoot on the phone. They'd been writing like as their diary. They'd made like a little fake newspaper.
They
said, "We now know that the Yeti, or not the Yeti, but it was like the
whatever. Yeti there. I don't know that. Is Yeti Asian?
Sasquatch? No. It would have been like Yeti, but it was like the snowman or something is real. But that was
the Abominable Snowman.
Okay, that probably would be okay. But
I think
they
last...
had a guy like in a suit or something, like they tried to make a blurry picture of it to kind of throw it in the paper. Like they cleaned it out, like they had one of their friends.
There was a blurry picture of it, what looked like a light in the sky. That's one of the theories behind this.
Okay.
Here's a few of the theories. Okay, so number one obviously would be avalanche, right? Number two would mm-hmm. be infrasound, which says that infrasound can induce feelings of unease, disorientation, and panic, and proposes that the natural phenomena may have been triggered by the hiker's irrational behavior. And this infrasound could have been caused by the wind blowing against a mountain and, you know, all that stuff. So that's another small theory. C would be the military involvement. Possibility of maybe encountering some secret military testing in the area.
I'll stop you right there because I've went through a bunch of these. I'm going with that one. Now, Todd will neither confirm nor deny that that could be a possibility, or can he?
I can tell you that they were mining plutonium for nuclear weapons not far from this area.
There was a base not far from there as well.
And there was actually like a huge leak. Like it was like probably one of the three largest nuclear accidents to ever happen.
Those never happen in Russia. What are you talking about?
That's what
about?
I'm saying.
That's not true. Yeah, that's...
They covered it all up. Because
the mighty man on a horse with no shirt would not allow it.
This is well before his time.
But he's still covered up.
How do you know?
This is Cold War
time. How do you know? He's been alive forever.
He's eternal.
He's Rasputin. Putin.
That's an episode I want to do as well.
And then obviously we have Yeti or alien encounter. So, somebody had an interesting theory and using a program that they used for the Frozen movie.
The cartoon
simulated the snow and stuff like that.
Do you mean the cartoon or the one where the guys were caught on the ski lift?
No, I'm talking about the cartoon. Yeah.
Ah, shit. The other
one was
pretty
actually
good.
Like that. The snow modeling that they have for that film is like some of the most high tech shit that they have.
Okay.
But it proved that there could have been an avalanche, a small one, and the pressure from all that snow hitting the tent could have done that, all that damage to them.
So like maybe it wasn't like the, maybe they so had to cut from the inside to get out of the tent, the way, depending on the way the snow.
Well, they could have thought that maybe there was more coming behind it, and that's why they left, because they didn't want to get buried in the tent.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
So,
yeah, because what kind of panic would you be in if you're all sitting there and then you hear a rumble and the next thing you know, there's a bunch of shit hitting the side of your tent. You'd be like, let's get the fuck out of here. There's the door. We got to make a new one. Time to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's not bad. And then the cold took care of the rest. I mean, really.
Yeah. Todd, what do you think?
I can neither confirm nor deny any such involvement from any outside or local,
military type thing.
Yes.
Okay. But you can confirm that it's cold as a motherfucker.
Like I've said three times already, dumb ways to die.
Yeah.
What about
I'd like to know what this grade 3 certification requires, like certain elevation and certain temperatures. Well, fuck, let's go in February when we can meet all this criteria.
I think what it was it had to be done in 10 days, and they had to go however many kilometers I said in the beginning, 300 kilometers in 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Still, this is dumb people spending money to do dumb things to come back and go, I got a piece of paper that says I'm an idiot.
Lucky I lived. Here's my
badge. This is why the Todd abides. I'm alive because I do enough dumb shit. I don't need to go really do dumb shit. I just,
Be like, is the past the same in July? Let's do it then. Well, how about we do it then?
That pass has been there forever. Fuck yeah, looks good from here.
I'm sure it's still probably cold in July, like way up that high, but still not as brutal.
I can go for a walk on the sidewalk and probably get hit by a car just as easily.
I'll stay home. I swear to God, if I had a buddy stop by my house and be like, "You gonna go hiking up this mountain in February?" I'd be like, "We're no longer friends."
I'd be like, "Hey man, if I wanted to fucking break my back, I could just fucking take a tumble down the stairs. I don't need to fucking go that far."
It's pretty clear you don't know me at all.
All right, Lindy, what do you think?
I think they went out with a genius murderer.
Do you think it was the guy with the tattoos? Or are you blaming the guy with the tattoos?
No, I don't think it was the guy with the tattoos. Didn't he die?
Oh yeah, they all did.
Yeah, he was one of the. He was one of the guys.
Or do you think the guy that came back?
I think that it was a way for someone to. He sent them out, and they got killed, and he just came back and blamed it on the snow.
There was
a meat shortage in that time frame, and I think he just couldn't carry all of the meat back. So.
Oh, I like where you're going with this. You are darker than me. I was going with the things.
She was saying it was so Mr.
If you
Mr.
haven't
Yuri.
Figured out by now, Lindy is so dark that
so Mr.
technically can register as an African American. She can put that on a census form.
So Mr. Yuri sends him out. He says, "Hey, I know you've got shortage in the meat department. I have a way." I don't know why I got French there. So I'll just the guy he was talking to was French.
Maybe.
He's selling it to the highest bidder. So he goes up there, kills them. Why did he leave their bodies?
I think it snowed unexpectedly and he couldn't get them out. There's only one set of tracks.
But his intentions were to bring back the meat to eat. But he was like, they'll stay cold for a while. Nobody will report this. And then it just kept getting worse and the shit didn't get light enough for them to get back up there.
Turned this into the Dilatov Chainsaw Massacre.
All I'm going to say is that...
That's why that one guy was missing a piece out of his hand. He's trying to meet up ahead of time. He's like, it's not bad.
I'm going to experiment with these people and see how far I can push them and what kind of evil things I can do. And I will go to my grave having all the pictures of it. Yep. And nobody will ever know.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to be frozen to get a boner.
Let it go.
That came off rude.
Let it go.
All right, so it now Matt is talking about getting boners and having warm things stuffed up his ass. Okay.
Now, you're taking that completely out of context. Everybody that listens to this will know what I mean.
Exactly. If there's aliens involved and I'm freezing,
maybe they will know exactly
what
you mean.
Put something warm in my ass, please.
Oh, my God.
Dude, okay. you got pizza pockets, man. They're hot. Shove them in my ass. It's freezing out here.
You know what I mean? You get it.
It was Ben Franklin with the revolver in the billiard room.
You're going to get it.
All right, let's wrap this shit up.
All right. Let's wrap it up like a parka, like they should have been wearing instead of running out in their skibbies. Was it like, close the tent? We got it set up. It's time to fuck. Let's get our fuck on. Let's get crazy up in here. Why was everybody almost naked with no fire going? I just don't get that part. It was just like, we ain't even got time.
Yeah. Let's save the wood for later.
Save that wood for later.
Well, everyone have a nice New Year's. We'll see you next year. Thanks for listening.
The only thing that's missing right now is you saying my line. Fuck it.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
That one?
Everything.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, so, yeah. Shit.
It's like that's the analogy between Two Girls, One Cup and 9/11, huh?
Come on.
Wow, that's come on. Those are two things I don't ever want to imagine.
Oh, buddy.
What he means is he saw this stand-up bit, and it's like there was the – it's like – at, you know, it's like 9/11. It's like you remember the world before 9/11. You remember the world after 9/11. You remember the world before Two Girls, One Cup. And then you remember the world after Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, I did that in high school, though, because my guy, one of my buddies showed me a thing on the internet. And I was like, is that a real thing? I didn't know that existed. That's a God, I hate people.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what it was. It was a rubber baby.
Thanks for telling us that you were going to tell us, and then you told us anyway.
So I will tell you what it was. That's a thing.
All right.
Gross. On that, let's note, get back into more death next time. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, my turn, Brinker. Yeah. You, I think it's Lindy's turn. So yeah.
Yeah.
Serial killer boys. Guys, thanks for continuing to like, rate, and review the podcast.
Keep it up on Spotify, please.
Yeah, you can watch all of our ugly mugs.
Dumbness.
And you can also see Lindy's beautiful face on Spotify in the video episodes.
So you can see my sister, and you can see me harassing her way too much in the episode because I thought it was hilarious. And then looking back, I was like, probably should have left her alone a little bit, but I did not.
For a second, I thought you were on cocaine. Then I realized.
I don't know what's new about that.
It's Dr. Roxo! You got some cocaine, baby?
Holy shit, Matt.
All right. I tried to talk my sister into it. I was like, first one's free.
Das vidanya, bitches. I'm Zach. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Lindy.
I'm whoever you fucking want me to be.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
Back out of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line? Well, that was a good episode, Zach. Well done. Well done on the...
I don't know about that, but... That's not where I'm at.
And now you know how Lindy feels. No.
And
we feel 53 minutes? Stare at the camera.
Give me a second. Hold my beer. I'll feel 53 minutes. I don't know if everybody will like
Hold it.
Hold
for me.
Feel
God
it.
Damn it. So let me tell you.
It won't be everybody's cup of tea. We can make it happen.
Or peanut
Whatevs.
Butter.
Whatever. You know, whatever you want.
Or, you know, warm piss or whatever you want to put in that cup.
Whatever you want or don't want. I don't know.
I don't know. Are the two girls involved in this cup? Or?
No, okay. No. No, that was... my buddy sent that to me. And it was my picture. I was like, oh! I was like, I'm going to delete you from my fucking phone. You send me shit like that again.
That was like somebody called 911.
I was like, now that's in my head. Now I know that shit happens. Then when shit happens. It does, and people enjoy it. I don't. Oh,
peanut butter.
It's a real thing.
Why isn't a vagina good enough? Why isn't it good enough? It should be just fine. It's perfect the way it is. It was as God intended. It's fucking.
So tell me how you really feel, Matt.
I just did. That's all I need. The vagina.
So I'm like, fool. All he needs is vagina.
And willing participant.
Vodka,
preferably
vagina.
The one I'm married to right now, because willing participant is like, okay, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Nah.
This is Mother Russia. Fuck those girls with the cup.
Oh, jeez.
God, I forgot we were recording. God